Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts, Father God, to receive your word, Father God, that we might be changed, transformed, less of me and more of you, Lord. We thank you and praise you. For some of you, Sandra's doing well, Millie. She's home from the hospital, and we're just praising God and thanking God for that. And tonight, we are this is part two of a series called He Speaks to Me. And by way of review, there's 2 points. I'm going to get right into this, and you'll be seeing the bullets on the screen in just a few minutes. I want to first begin by telling you to go over a couple things. Number one, Samuel in Hebrew means God has heard. And that's interesting because it was actually Samuel who heard from God, unless you know the backstory. And the backstory is regarding his mother, Hannah, who prayed for this child before he was even born and dedicated him to the Lord, and said, "For this child, I prayed," and she named him God Has Heard, because it was her prayers that God had heard. And so the first lesson that we have tonight is, if you want your children to be successful in the kingdom of God, pray, pray, and pray some more. Pray for your children. And Hannah prayed, and she conceived, and that's why she named him Samuel, God Has Heard. So the answer, by the way, to also infertility, you've probably known someone in your life who battled infertility, is also to pray. It's not to seek out the best doctor that you can get, but it's to pray. The second point that I want to review tonight that I want to make is concerning the priest Eli. God told Eli, he rebuked Eli for not, the Bible says that Eli did not rebuke his sons. But I want you to know something about the context of the word rebuke. When God told Eli he did not rebuke his sons, the correct Hebrew word for that is a word that I cannot pronounce, Ishana, something like that, that means he did not restrain his sons. The word rebuke means to speak forth something. But what God was telling Eli is, Eli had talked to his sons, but talk is not enough. So to say he didn't rebuke his sons is not a strong enough word. The Hebrew word is he did not restrain his sons. The word restrain means to tie up, to do anything to stop them. He did not stop them. It's not enough to yell at your kids. It's not enough to tell them, no, 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 that's sinful. You must keep them, restrain them. So that's the second point I wanted to make by way of review, that before we begin the actual review. First of all, we all want to hear from God. And many people do hear from God, but many people do not hear from God. And number one, when people ask me and say, why do I not hear from God? The first thing that I'm going to ask is God hearing from you? And I want to begin by sharing a couple of truths. The people who hear from God are the people who are seeking to hear from God or listening to God. And it is possible for us to ignore God's voice. It's possible because we're often distracted by the noise of the world that we allow to drown out the still small voice of God when he's trying to speak. And I'm going to share with you in a little bit about a powerful word that God gave me as I was laying on my face in church last night. But I'm going to read to you a verse, a supporting verse for He Speaks to Me. This is our key verse for this entire class. John 10:27-28. My sheep hear my voice. I'm a sheep, you're a sheep. And I know them, have relationship with them, and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man be able to pluck them out of my hand. We're in the hands of God. I want to also say regarding hearing from God that God never gives anyone the silent treatment. It's not fair to say I don't hear from God when your Bible is shut, is it? It's not fair, is it? I don't hear from God when God is given us his word. So God doesn't give anyone the silent treatment, but here's the situation. Sometimes we give God the silent treatment, And maybe you're going to ask me, how do I give God the silent treatment? It's because we talk to everyone else while ignoring God and not speaking to God about our situation. Am I right or am I wrong? There's something I want. Now, we talked last week about Frida over here, who has actually, she's the only one I know of in this congregation, including Pastor Ken, Gil, and all of us, who has heard the audible voice of God. And remember, I said, when I asked Frida, what did you hear? The first thing she said was, he spoke my name. Immediately, I knew that she had indeed heard the audible voice of God, because God is consistent in what he does. And many times, Moses, Abraham, Samuel, he will call your name. Let's get it straight who I'm speaking to. But there's been people who would say, well, how come Frida gets to hear God's audible voice? Who are you, Frida, that you get to hear God's audible voice? Wow. And they think, well, you know, that's not fair that God calls someone else's name. First of all, God is sovereign. He does what he wants, when he wants. And what God does for Frida is no concern of yours. I'm to worry about me. But there, I said this because the Holy Spirit dropped this in my spirit. There is something just as wonderful as hearing God call your name. You know what it is? It's that you can call God's name. If you're jealous that someone has heard God call their name, you can call the name of God, call God's name. And I kind of like that. I think that's kind of super cool. So we talked about how God called Samuel as a child and actually called him four times in one night. And the interesting thing was, Eli was right down the hallway or in the proximity, and he was a priest. And wow, if God was going to speak to somebody, why would he not speak to the priest? Why would he not speak to the prophet? The reason for it is that Eli had stopped listening to God long ago. He had already spoken to him, and Eli had not responded to the word of the Lord. Do you know how dangerous it is for us, for me, not to respond to the word of the Lord? And God had given Eli actually a word of correction. How do we handle it when God gives us a word of correction? Do we just gloss over that? Do we just ignore that? Do we not respond to that? Or if God gives us not even just a word of correction, also a word of warning, how do we respond to that? Do we ignore it and pretend that it will not happening? Eli heard what God had said, but hearing and listening are two different things. Hearing is a physical act. Listening is obeying. If my dad or mom told me to take out the trash, they didn't mean, did you hear that with your ears? And they said, are you listening? Do you intend to obey that? And so God gave the child Samuel the same word for him to give to Eli. And Samuel was faithful. He obeyed, and he gave the word to Eli. So Eli is now receiving this word of warning and judgment coming a second time. But Eli responded incorrectly by saying, well, God, just do whatever you want. You're God, whatever. Basically, who cares? Do you know how arrogant that is? Do you know that he probably could have actually circumvented the judgment of God by repentance, by falling on his face before God? But he did not do that. It was an incorrect response, which tells me his heart was hard, which tells me that he was reprobate at that point. Now, that seems hard to believe because he had a title, didn't he? The title of priest. He worked in God's house. But you know, we can get so callous to the things of God and take them so lightly. When we hear a word of correction, we're not to react out of turn, but we're to respect God and surrender to that, repent. He is a holy God. We can, you know, God invites us to come boldly before him, but he is still a holy God, and he has deserved all respect and all honor. And he is not prideful, because he has a right to display his power. He is a show-up and a show-off God, and he does all of it for our benefit. God can do things that we don't understand just because he's God. You know, he works within the realm of science and creation so often, but if he wants to, he can go beyond that. And I shared with you, and this is review, I know, the bumblebee. Scientifically and aerodynamically, the bumblebee should never be able to fly because its wings would never hold up this big body, the weight. But it does, because it never read the science book, And it just flies because it flies, because God lets it fly. God makes the impossible possible, and he is a sovereign God. We should expect miracles and something else. We should expect to hear from God. We should position ourselves to hear from God. So who hears from God? First of all, Samuel worshiped God even as a child. The Bible says he did not have a knowledge or revelation about God yet. However, he's about to get some, but he worshiped God. He served God, and he did not serve Eli. And the way I know this is 1 Samuel 3:1 says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord, not unto Eli. He ministered unto the Lord. He was worshiping the Lord and not Eli. And it was very rare in those days to receive a direct revelation from God because the people had been very, very disobedient. And I'm going to explain to you that there are times when God stops talking. Now, God is always speaking, but you will not be able to hear from him. And I'm going to read a verse to you from the prophet Amos, and it's going to kind of shock you in a few minutes. But Samuel was different. He was set apart. He was dedicated unto the Lord. But Eli, here he is, he's this priest, and he allows his sons to openly and shamefully dishonor the house of God and the office of priest, and he did nothing about it, and therefore they were not any different as the world. So I want to tell you, status or title does not mean that you're living for God. Just because you call yourself a pastor, a preacher, a Bible teacher, whoever, it doesn't mean that you're living a set-apart life. It doesn't mean that you're living a holy life as unto the Lord. Eli knew a lot. He probably knew the word, but it's not enough to know about God if you do not know God. It's not enough to read the Bible if you have never met the author of the Bible. There's a difference. It's having a relationship with God. Paul says it best, and I'm going to read that, and you can have all things going for you, and they mean nothing at all if you're not living holy in a surrendered life to Christ. Paul gave this resume about himself, and this was interesting, Philippians 3:5. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was of the house of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Here's what it means. I was circumcised. In other words, I belonged to the right church. I was the house of Israel. Tribe of Benjamin, born on the right side of the tracks. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Of the people of God, a Hebrew of Hebrews, the best of the best. I knew the law. Yes, I did. I could quote it. Yes, I could. I was considered a Pharisee, the elite. The important, the very spiritual. I was blameless, and still I persecuted the church. And yet in all of this, with my resume, I was nothing. When you don't live for Christ and you don't have Jesus, let me tell you. And he said, and anything I lose serving Christ, I count as nothing lost at all. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, I count those as lost for Christ. We have to live a sanctified and a set-apart life as unto the Lord. I want to tell you something about hearing from God, because this is a little bit of a warning. Sin provokes God to withhold his word from us. Okay, let me read to you from Amos. This is the prophet Amos, and it is found in chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You know, I was in a room one time, and a girl was trying to speak to a group of people, and they were totally and completely ignoring her. And she just shut down. I watched it happen. She just stopped. So what do you think that God does when we just ignore him? We just pretend he isn't even, just turn your head the other way, blah, 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 blah. And just, what do you think he's going to do? He's not going to force you. He's not going to force you. But Samuel heard the word of God because he was a worshiper and because he was obedient. And I want to tell you that living a set-apart and holy life, as we begin tonight, I want to tell you, it is so worth it. There is always a reward, because God rewards those who who serve him, who honor him, who obey him. You are rewarded by a happy life. You can go to sleep at night not worrying, oh, I told 15 lies today. How do I cover that? I robbed a bank today. I did this. You don't have to worry that the police are going to knock on your door because you did something horrifying. You just live for God. That's a reward in itself. Having peace with God, knowing that if you should die tonight, that you're going straight to be with Jesus. There's a built-in reward. But some people say, why is it that the world seems to be so blessed, and I'm talking materialistically now and things like that, and it seems like that the people of God struggle. And part of the reason for that is a runner in a race does not receive the reward in the middle of the race. We're running a race here, and no one stops you and go, oh, I know we're in the middle of the race, but here's your crown, here's your gold medal. You get that at the end. When Jesus says, well done, thy good and faithful service, and when the crowns are passed out, and are you willing to wait for what God has for you ahead? Because you don't know. And can God reward you on earth? He will. I know I've shared this before, but it just always, I have such a beautiful picture of it in my collection of pictures, is when years back, my niece was trying to conceive a child, and she was faced with infertility. And every month I'd get the call, she's crying, it's not this time, and it just went on for several years. And finally, through the miracle of adoption, has God not adopted us? Has he not adopted us? Hallelujah. Through the miracle of adoption, and even within our family, you all know that she took home baby Felix. And the day she took him home, we had a little onesie on him, and the writing on the onesie said, worth the wait. That reward was worth the wait. And I took a picture of it because it just reminded me, you know, even, and I would like to say it like this, I think it's on, that's it right there on the screen. Heaven will be worth all of the hell you went through on earth. Heaven is going to be worth all of the hell you went through on earth. Now, I know that some of us have went through plenty of hell on earth. Maybe we're still going through hell on earth. But I'm just going to, let's just put that in our hearts, that heaven is going to be worth it when we receive the reward of seeing Jesus and seeing all our loved ones again. But regarding speaking to God and the rewards of that, of living a godly life, I want to share this. To hear from God, we have to be listening to God. To be listening to God, you need to be close to God. And I shared this last week. I'm going to say this again. The closer I am to Janice, the more clearly I can hear her. Am I right? The closer I get, the closer I close in. So the closer I am to God, the more clearly I can hear him. Watch this. The farther I am away from God, the less clearly I can hear him. You get that? You got to get close to God. You got to get close to God. Listen for him. Turn off the noise of the world. So Samuel was a worshiper. Samuel was obedient. But since we're talking about speaking to God, and I told you that God can do anything he wants to do, he doesn't just speak to believers, although he does continually. Because Samuel listened to God the first time, do you know that God spoke to Samuel throughout his lifetime? Throughout his lifetime. If you continue to obey, God will continue to speak. If you continue to listen to God, God will continue to speak to you. And so we're going to talk about how God speaks, who God speaks to. And like I said, God is sovereign. So God spoke to a man that was not a believer at all. His name was Saul. On the road to Damascus, he called him. He was trying to get his attention, and it worked. He did. And so we're going to talk about some people that God spoke to, but let's talk about where God spoke to Samuel at. And this I love. I really love this. I love this. You know, you don't have to be in church every service, but I want you to hear this. God spoke to him in the temple. God spoke to him in his house. And I love to say that when I honor God, when I come to God's house, God comes to my house. When I bless God's house, he blesses my house. And Samuel had went to bed and he was resting and the house was quiet. It was the temple. And I love God's house. I'm someone who loves God's house. I love to be here. I love the peace that's here. I love that the Holy Spirit is here and that he's welcome. So I had the coolest thing happen to me last night. I was praying because I've been going through some stuff, and I was praying, and I was laying on the floor, and I was just weeping over there, and I was just crying out to God, I need a miracle. I need this miracle, God, and you know I do, and you know I know you've heard from me before, but you can keep hearing from me. I know you're patient. And so I was just crying out to God, and I said, God, I just need to grab and touch the hem of your garment, like that woman with the issue of blood. And as quick as that, the Holy Spirit spoke. It was God speaking to me, and here's what he said. You don't have to grab the hem of my garment. You can grab my nail-scarred, resurrected feet of Jesus. The cross. The cross. He was nailed to the cross for me. I don't have to just grab on that hem. Not anymore. I can grab hold of his nail-scarred feet. I can fall at his nail-scarred feet. And because of the cross, we can ask him whatever we want. God will speak to us. So he spoke to Samuel in the temple, and that's where he spoke to me just last night with such a precious word. And he's going to lift us up on our feet again. But there's some amazing things about Samuel. God anointed him as a prophet. He heard from God as a child, and he responded. He gave the word. Let me share this. When he received the word from God that he was supposed to give, he gave it exactly as God gave it to him. Exactly. And that's what we have to do. And that means that Samuel was faithful, and God knew now that he could trust him to be Israel's spokesperson. Samuel was one of a very few people that were faithful to serve God throughout their lifetime, from the time they were a child until adulthood and until they went home. The only others I know, and if you have any more, please teach me, bring them to me. I would love to know that. But the only others I know that lived this way were Daniel, Joseph, and Mary, the mother of Christ, and Samuel. That's who I know. Anybody else? Others seem to kind of mess up from time to time, but these are faithful. Just blameless before the Lord. Samuel had the distinct honor of becoming a prophet of Israel, a priest, and a judge of Israel. He held three offices. He was greatly respected. He was known by saint and sinner alike as a man of integrity, and that remains unto this very day. And God does speak often through his authority. He does through those through prophets. God spoke through the prophets of old. But let me tell you a verse, and I'm going to get to something that's super cool here in a minute. Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God will do nothing except he reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. So God will speak to prophets. But I'm going to show you something wonderful. Let me give you another confirming scripture first. Genesis 18:17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? So we have two verses here. He reveals his secret unto his servants. So God will speak to his servants. And we are his servants of God, right? And he will speak to the prophets of God. Abraham was a prophet of God. And we see in Amos that the Lord will do nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants and the prophets. But there's something wonderful. God speaks to those also who are his friends. And the Bible says that we are the friends of God. Let me read another verse that should really bless you and I. This should encourage you that you and I can hear from God. Exodus 33, 11a. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friends. Well, okay, Pastor Pam, Moses was a friend of God. I get it. Old Testament. Let me read you another verse. John 15:15-17. Henceforth and from this time forward, I call you no longer servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord does, but I have called you, this is you, put your name right here, I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Wow, wow. God does speak to servants. He does speak to pastors. He does speak to prophets. But we are the friends of God. And he said, the servant doesn't know. He doesn't get to know everything. But when you're a friend of God, when God is your friend, and I tell people this all the time, I can tell people that I'm a friend of Miriam here. I can say it all day long. And maybe I am. And maybe I'm not. I can tell people I'm a friend of Alan. And maybe I am. But maybe I'm not. But when Miriam says, Pam is my friend, yes, that's the real deal. When Alan says, she's my friend, then you know it's truth. I can say to you, I am a friend of God. But when God said here, I call you my friend, when God says it about me, then you know it's true. Then you know it's the truth. And that's what I love about this. When I read this afternoon in my room, tears just started rolling down my eyes. And I kept saying, God, when you were choosing friends, what happened? You didn't have nobody else? Is that why you chose me? Why? How could you choose us? You know, because he loves us and died for us, he wanted to make us part of his family and his own friend. And you know what? There's things that I'm a friend of Frida's. There's things I tell her that I don't tell the waitress at the restaurant, and I don't tell the doctor's office secretary, but Frida knows. There's things we can talk about. Janice knows, and I know Janice. I know she loves purses. I know things about her that other people don't know because we're friends. And God knows things about you that other, and you can talk to him about things. He's your friend, right? So you can talk to him about things. And you know what else is so cool? That he'll talk to you about things too. Like he talked to Moses, like he talked to Abraham. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have to destroy. You know, isn't that the coolest thing that I can be a friend of God? That's something to rejoice over. And I just think that it's so cool. Now, there were six people, and this is going to be quick. There are six people recorded. So in case God ever calls you, okay, let's suppose that God ever audibly calls your name or in your spirit calls your name, and God is trying to get your attention, and he calls your name, or God calls you. Let me help you out with the correct response. There were six people in the Word of God who said the same thing when God called them, and here's the words that they said. Here I am. Here I am is the correct response. Here I am. And let me tell you about the first one was Abraham. God called, and let me tell you the context of it so you'll get it. It's so powerful. Abraham, God had told Abraham, go and sacrifice your son Isaac, remember? And this is Abraham, at the time God spoke to him and he said this, Abraham had a knife in his hand to kill his own son, Isaac, and God called his name and said, Abraham, Abraham, and Abraham responded, here am I. So then God said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. So let's think about this for 2 seconds. What if God had called to Abraham, 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 and Abraham ignored God, didn't say one thing? What would have happened to poor little Isaac? He might not be with us today because we need to respond to God. Abraham saved this child's life by responding to God, here am I, here am I. So when God calls, we need to stop whatever we're doing and respond correctly. The next person, let's move on to person number two, Jacob. God called Jacob in a dream. God can speak to us in dreams and visions. And Jacob said, here I am. After Jacob responded and said those words in response to God, remember, non-response is no good. He said, here I am. God told him something really wonderful. You can go home now. Get your wives. It's time to leave Laban and go home. What a beautiful thing. I responded to God, and he said, you can go home. Now, here's the thing. Had he not responded to God once again, like Abraham, he would have remained with old Uncle Laban, who was not a good person. He was a terrible person. But he responded to God, and God ordered his steps in the right direction. Moses, number three, Exodus 3:4, God called Moses, and Moses said, here am I. And this is when God knew that he could trust Moses then to lead his people out of bondage because Moses had responded to God. So I would ask you, if Moses had not responded, here am I, where would the people of Israel, what would have happened to them? They were in bondage. They were being beaten. They were abused. Who would have led them? The other one was Samuel. Here am I. And this was when God gave him a word for Eli, the final word that Eli would receive. And the final one is my favorite. Number six, Isaiah 6:8, and Isaiah, it's when Isaiah was being commissioned by God. Isaiah 6:8 says it a little bit differently, but I love his response. He doesn't just say, here am I, he goes further. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, does God speak? He just said, I heard his voice. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. What a powerful response. Not just here am I, but he went out even further and said, send me, not knowing where God was going to send me. But I love that. That's a correct response before God. There's one more that is a funny one. I saved the funny one for last. This is a tough one. This guy had it rough. This is another guy who said, here am I. But it's quite amusing. His name, he was a man named Ananias. I love this guy. Acts 9:10, and there was a certain disciple. All he is a disciple of God at Damascus. He lives in Damascus. He's a servant of God. He's a disciple. His name is Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in a vision, called his name, Ananias. And he said, behold, here I am, Lord. Now, I want to tell you a bit about this poor fellow. He's just Joe Christian. He's just regular disciple. And by the way, the word disciple simply means learner. He's just Joe Christian minding his own business when he has this dream, Ananias. And in the dream, God is calling him. So he responds, but he does not yet know what God wants from him. So he says, here am I in the vision. So here's what God said to him in verse 11. And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias, that would be me, Lord, coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now, this is where it gets funny. So Ananias is fine in the dream. Here I am, send me. But we don't know, do we, when we say that, where God is going to send us. But he's saying, here I am. And Ananias, who has just told God, here am I, answered, hey, Lord, I heard something. I heard by many. Now, this is not just a few people. The word is on the streets. I heard by many that this man, how very evil, how much evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem. Ananias is terrified. This is pretty funny. He is so terrified because he's heard of Saul. He knows exactly who Saul is. He knows what Saul has done. Everyone knows who Saul has done. And he's probably thinking right now, why, God, did you call me? I'm just a regular Christian. Why did I have this vision? And he's probably thinking, and why on earth did I say, here am I? I'm going to die now. Here am I. I'm going to die. But I got to tell you, I give Ananias some high marks. Here's the thing. When you've heard from God, you know you've heard from God. You know you've heard from God. And even though Ananias was telling God, now listen, I've heard about the man. I've heard about him. God, he's done some pretty terrible things. He's probably thinking, yeah, like kill guys like me. And I'm next on the list. And so why do I have to do this? But he did it anyway. If you know you've heard from God, go ahead and do it, because everything will turn out all right, because God has got your back. He's got a purpose and a plan. And so I love that Ananias was faithful to God. I love that he was obedient to God. But all of these people said, here am I. I'm whatever you need from me, whatever you want from me, God, I'm available to you, God. That's what they were saying. And there are times when you hear from God. Someone asked me one time how you can know that it's God and that you've heard from God. First of all, it will line up with God's word. It will be something that glorifies and honors God if God's speaking to you. But I remember a time when the Lord told me, it's very rare that he's done this with me, very rare. So this is not a common thing, like I go around correcting people. That's not my style. But something had happened, and God told me, you are to go to this man and tell him that he's being disobedient to me, that he's on a roller coaster, that I serve you, I don't, I serve you, I don't, I serve you, I don't, and he's going to crash. That roller coaster is going to crash, and he's going to be harmed, and his children after him are on the same roller coaster. And I just thought to myself, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. If you want him to know God, then you can tell him your own self. But here's the deal. I literally could not sleep for 2 weeks. I was getting ready to go on a trip. I couldn't hardly eat by the end. Because I knew that I knew that I knew that it was God. And I knew that he was trying to help this man. And I knew that I was being disobedient not to do it. So I had one more Sunday. So I asked the man, could I speak to you for just a few minutes? You know, just shy, quiet. Can I speak to you? I'm going to give this word as nice as I can possibly make it. How do you say that? Nice and sweet and kind and gentle. You are disobedient to God. And that's what God told me to tell him. So I did it. And to my surprise, he said, I was expecting this. He said, you're right. You are correct. I need to do business with God. And from that time on, I was just so thankful. So thankful, because sometimes we miss it. There's been many times that I missed it. Yeah, and we all miss it, right? But when you get it, you're just so thankful to God. We're going to ask our praise team to come. But we're going to continue on next week on the series about hearing from God, and we're going to talk about some other people in the Word of God that heard from God and they responded to the call of God. And I believe it's really, really going to bless you. And as we do this, I just ask that you would talk to God. Get yourself to a quiet place. Turn off everything. Don't let any distractions come into your head. Begin to worship God. And go ahead. You know, something that came to my spirit was this. If God's speaking, if God's going to speak to us and we're going to answer, here am I. You know what I did the other day? I went ahead and answered before. Before he speaks, I just decided I'm going to go ahead and say, here am I. Let's stand. Let's all stand and go before the Lord. And that's our answer to God. Here I am. And if you're really bold and you really want God to use you in his kingdom, do what the prophet Isaiah said. Say, here I am. Send me. Send me, God. Send me. Point me in the right direction. Show me, God.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.